Today is Sunday morning, November 13th, 15th day of the month of Cheshvan. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Masech HaSukkah, Daf Membeis Amid Beis. Okay, Rabotai. We started the Gemara last time. the Gemara's question as to why, when the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, everyone agrees that Lulav overrides the Shabbos. And you would take lulav on the first day. However, if the second through the seventh day came out on Shabbos, despite the fact that the mitzvah of lulav is midoraisa, you would not take it in the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days. Ask the Gemara, Amai, why would you not take arba minim in the Beis HaMikdash on the second day of Sukkot, which happens to be Shabbos? Tiltul ba'almahu v'litche Shabbos. That was the Gemara's question. So just he'ara too. If you look at, I showed you last week that Rashi believes that a lulav has a halacha of a kli on it. I showed you the Rashi inside. In addressing the issue, why is it that women are allowed to move a lulav on Yom Tov, despite the fact that they're not obligated to observe the mitzvah, said Rashi, because yesh alav toras kli. Tosfos clearly disagrees with that. We're going to read the Tosfos now, Tiltul Ba'alma, on the bottom of Mem Beis Amid Beis. Tosfos says, Af al gav de chazi le mitzvah, even though the lulav is obviously functional for the mitzvah, nonetheless, shayich bei isir muktzah letiltul, me'achar de'ein asui kli. Now that since it is not a utensil, despite the fact that it might have a use, namely for the mitzvah, it is still subject to the possibility of the isir of tiltul muktzah on Shabbos. And he brings a proof from Maseches Menachos, what is happening here? If you know how the shulchan was constructed, there were two long poles, and on each of the poles were six little boards that jutted out, which actually were removable, and upon each one of those boards they placed the lechem haponim. So the Gemara Menacho says that you have to remove the boards on Friday. You can't remove them on Shabbos because they're mukza. What do you mean? Why should they mukza? After all, you have you put the lechem aponim on him. So in theory, it should seem as if it's a regular utensil. It's holding up the lechem aponim. Why would the concept of mukza apply? So apparently there is a fundamental machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos how to understand a kli. Tosfos is of the opinion that the definition of a kli is only something that is used for meleches adam, for something that we need, that we want to take advantage of. So if I have a tape recorder, this is a kli. It's a kli shemalach talisa. If I have a spoon, it's a kli shemalach talaheter, because I use it for my own personal use. But something which is only usable, its function is lemelech shamayim, the heavenly pursuit, Tosfos claims does not have the halacha of a kli. Even though it does have some hishtamshut, nonetheless, meleches shamayim does not render something into a kli. It is usable based on the fact that it has a certain use, based on the fact that the Torah tells us to do something with this. But from the definition of what constitutes a kli is only something which man can use freely for his own personal activity. Therefore, Tosfos is of the opinion that the lulav, despite the fact that it is a mitzvah, it cannot become a kli. Since it cannot become a kli, the Gemara's question is justified. Am I? At best, the Easter of moving the lulav is nothing but tiltul. Why is there an Iser Tiltel? Because it's Mutzah. Why is it Mutzah? Because it so serves no purpose other than Melech HaShamayim. And Rashi, who last on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, says that there can be a halacha of a kli associated with a lulav, does not believe that a kli, in order to define something as a utensil, that it only has to serve man's uses. If you have something that is used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we call Melech HaShamayim, under those circumstances, it also can attain the halacha of kli. And that's why the Gemara's question is a little difficult, according to Rashi. Because there is no reason why this Iser should be an Iser of Tiltul of Mutzah once the Lulav has acquired the definition of a utensil. Kli, by definition, can't be Mutzah. That's the opposite of Mutzah. Because a Kli is something which is Muchan Litashmish, usable, something set aside for use. Can't be Mutzah.
I thought a Kli that has no purpose for that day is Mutzah, even if it's a Kli.
No. There is no such thing. No. A Kli Shemalachta L'Iser is not Mutzah. You're not allowed to move it, but it's not Muktzah. The proof to it is that there are certain circumstances when we allow you to move a Kli Shemalach Deliser. Litzorech Makomo. Litzorech Gufo. If I'm going to use this, the Gemara's illustration is a hammer to open up walnuts. You're allowed to bang it. If something is Muktzah, there is no dispensation whatsoever. A Kli Shemalach Del Iser is technically not Muktzah, but the Rabbanan said, I don't want you to move it. So occasionally the Rabbanan will say, you're allowed to move something that is Muktzah.
Is that Muktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis?
That is Muktzah. That's correct.
That could be a Kli.
Correct, but its address is a different Iser. The fact that on the ordinary Muktzah Machmas is, I am Makseit Mida'ato. I am saying I'm not using this because if I were to use it in a ordinary sense, I might suffer financial loss. So in effect, I am makta it. That's why it can never be moved. A kli which is muktzah machmas chisaron, you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. Tzarech gufo, tzarech makaymai. It is muktzah not based on the utensil, based on my act of haktzah. I don't want to move a shochet's knife to cut an apple because I might ruin it. That's why it's muktzah. So therefore it is not subject to the Isur, and therefore it's somewhat difficult according to Rashi. But Taisvis, the Gemara's question is crystal clear, as he has in relationship to the Shulchan. Those things, those boards that come out, and Rashi, Taisvis quotes it, the Pasuk in Parshas Truma, Uminaki Yosav. What are the Minaki Yosav? Those are the little boards that hold it. They can't be moved on Shabbos due to the fact that they're Muktzah. Taisus says, well, why are they Muktzah? You know, it seems like it's a utensil that holds up the Lechem Apanim. The answer is, if something's only function is Melech HaShamayim, it does not really attain the status of a Kli, according to Taisvis. So the Gemara's question happens to be really good on that.
Is there a distinction between something for the tzibur and something for yourself, personally, for the yachid?
No, apparently not, because the lulav is your personal use.
Right.
And nonetheless, the Gemara is asking that it should be Muktzah. So the Gemara does not distinguish that. I could have done that, but from the Taisus, absolutely not. No distinction. In fact, the Gaon in Simin Tafresh Nunches elaborates on this, citing an interesting Rambam. What would you say, Rabotai, about a lulav yesterday? Are you allowed to move a lulav yesterday? What would you say?
Yes.
Why?
There's no Inyan Muktzah on it. It's not like it's Shabbos and Sukkot where
you're
not allowed to use
good.
It.
So now you have to look the other. Now reverse it. Why should you be able to use it? What possible use could you have out of it?
Room.
Ah, says the Rambam. Machbedo shel tmarim perek chavav of Hilcha Shabbos. Halacha Gimel, Carl, always writing down the Mar Mekaymus, good. Perek Chavav, Hilchus Shabbos, Halacha Gimel, Rambam writes, Machbedo Shel Tmarim, literally brooms that are made from palm trees, Shemechabdin Es Habayis, Harei Hein, Kikli Shemalachto Leheter. They are a kli shemalachta leheter.
You can use a boom.
Good. So the Gaon asks, what's the Gemara talking about here? What do you mean, tiltil ba'alma? If I wanted to use my lulav as a broom every ordinary Shabbos, I could. So why all of a sudden Shabbos Cholamoed Sukkos, can I not use it? Why should it be subject to tiltil muktzah?
On Yontif, you can't make it into a broom.
Says the Gaon, because there is an additional muktzah. Muktzah machmas mitzvah. Once something has been set aside for designating as use for a mitzvah, personal use for those 7 days is indeed prohibited. So the regular use that it can be used for brooms is of no consequence here. The only possible use is muktzah, is for the mitzvah. If it's only for the mitzvah, now it can be subject to the Isur Tiltul according to Tosfos. That's what the Gaon points out. That under ordinary circumstances, a lulav is a broom, therefore it will be muktzah by virtue, it's just we will not be muktzah by virtue of the fact that it's a utensil. It's a broom. But on Yontif, you can't use it as a broom because it's huktzah mitzvasa. Therefore, its only functional use is letzarech mitzvah. Letzarech mitzvah claims Tosfos, it does not render it as a kli. And as a result, the Gemara's question is validated. Yeah.
So what's the principle Tosfos is deriving as it relates to something for cut? For
Tosfos says that anything that's used is only for kachim, for mitzvah, is not halakhically considered a kli.
But aren't there halakhs in kachim that require certain things to be a kli? I mean, it's possible if it's not a kli.
Correct. But for Hilchas Shabbos purposes.
So now we're taking this two dinim of kalim.
That's correct.
For the
excellent point. In fact, the Rav points that out according to Tosfos. What would Tosfos say about tumah? Right? There is a halach of tumas kalim. 30 prakim in the Rambam, Hilchas Tumas Kalim. What's happening? Obviously it is a kli. But for Hilchas Shabbos purposes, the definition of a kli, according to Tosfos, is only for your own personal use. It's a good question. Seems somewhat inconsistent. Tumah purposes. Excellent question. 100%. Yeah.
What about the Ein Shlus B'Mikdash? How does that relate to the Gaon?
We're going to get to that. Not ready for it yet. We're going to get to that when they discuss they prohibited lulav in the Beis HaMikdash based on the Gzeira the Rabbah. Right now, there's no Gzeira the Rabbah because in the Beis HaMikdash. So you're asking why can't you? Good, that's good. It's good. We'll get to it soon. It's a very good question. That's now the Gemara answered. Now one hour on the Gemara's answer before we continue the Gemara. Amar Rabbah, if you remember, Gzeira Shem Yitlenu Biyado V'Yelech Etzabaki Lulmod V'Yavirenu Arbamis Brashur Sarab. We read the Tosfos last week. As Tosfos asked the question, why isn't the Gemara concerned about that you will carry it from your house into a public domain, which is the Isur of Hotza'a on Shabbos? Why is the Gemara only concerned that you will be Ma'avir Dalet Amos Bereshus HaRabbah? So what did Tosfos answer? What did Tosfos answer in the name of Rashi? What did Rashi answer? Because not always is a person going to be leaving his Reshus HaYachid. Maybe he will be in a Carmelis. And if he's coming from a Carmelis into a Reshus HaRabbah, that's not an Issa d'Oraisa in the first place. So there would be no Gzeira d'Rabbah under those circumstances. No Gzeira d'Rabbah under those circumstances. So I want to cover every area. Even if a person was sleeping in a yard in a Carmelis where he is not in his personal house, so he would not be taking the lulav from his house into a Reshus HaRabbah. He would be taking it from a Carmelis into a Reshus HaRabbah, and a Carmelis to a Reshus HaRabbah is not Aser Midda'oraisa at all. Not Aser. And as a result, we want to deal with something which is definitively Aser Midda'oraisa. Now, I mentioned to you the Meiri last time, who claims that if you carry something from my house to your house, Derech Reshus HaRabbah, you do not need an Akira and a Hanacha. You don't need an Akira and a Hanacha.
To be chayav. Mm.
To be chayav. Truth is, Rashi believes, even if I'm not going from my house to your house, Ha'avara Dalet Amos Reshus HaRabbah is Asur, even if there is no Akira at all. Because Rashi claims, what happens if you went? What happens if you leave from a Carmelis? What is happening if you leave from a Carmelis and you enter into the Rishus HaRabim? So from the vantage point of the change of domain, there's no Iser. A Carmelis is not a Rishus HaYachid. A Carmelis is defined as something that is not a Rishus HaRabim, not a Rishus HaYachid. So when you go from a Carmelis into a Rishus HaRabim, you don't violate an Iser. Yet, where did this guy leave from? He left from where? From this Carmelis. And where did he go? He went to where? No, he went to the Bucky. Went to the guy to teach him how to be a kind of mitzvah. So what will he violate at all? What will he violate at all under those circumstances? The Meiri says you'll violate it if you go from your house to soak from a Rishus HaYachid into another Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRabim, Yachayiv. But according to the case of Rashi, I don't want to talk about Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because maybe he's living in a Carmelis. So what law will he violate when he goes into a Carmelis at all? He's picking it up in a Carmelis, for which there's no obligation. In the Rishus HaRabim, he doesn't stop. Where does he now stop for the first time? In the Rishus HaYachid, in the Chacham's house. When you are Ma'avir from a Carmelis into Rishus HaYachid, are you held accountable for that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Carmelis is a fail-safe place. You can't be chayv when you carry into a Carmelis. Can't be chayv when you carry from a Carmelis. So what in the world is he violating? What's the gzeira derabba, according to Rashi, that we're not going to worry about hotza'a, because we're not talking about hotza'a. We're talking about a guy who's in the Carmelis. If he's in the Carmelis, when is he going to violate anything? Because he went, here's the lulav. I carried it into the Rishus HaRabim, but I brought it to the Rishus HaYachid of the Talmud Chacham. Apparently, Rashi believes, and the Rambam clearly disagrees, that for the Iser of Havara Rishus HaRabim, you don't need any Akira or any Hanacha whatsoever. None whatsoever. The mere fact that I have an article which I carry in the street and I go 4 cubits, approximately 8 feet, whether I bring it to motion or do not bring it to a stop, is of no consequence whatsoever. Ha'avara b'rishus harabim is chayiv without an akira and anacha. The Rambam, black on white, says that this is not true. Perek Yud Beis Halacha Tes of Hilcha Shabbos, that you need Akirva Anacha in order to be Mavir, to violate the Isra of Havara Dalazamas Rishus HaRabim. But if you happen to find in you're carrying on a Rishus HaRabim, and you notice your keys in your pocket, a handkerchief or anything, what do we tell people to do? Never stop. Keep walking. Just keep walking. Because we paskin like the Rambam, that in order to be chayef for Mavri Dalaramas Rishus HaRabim, you have to have an Akira in the Rishus HaRabim and a Hanacha in the Rishus HaRabim. But Rashi apparently does not believe so. Therefore the Gemara says, why can't you take your lulav on Shabbos? I'm afraid Gzeira Shem Yavi Renu Dalaramas Rishus HaRabim. He's going to carry 4 amas in the Rishus HaRabim, even if he originated where? In a Carmelis. So switching the Hotza'a prohibition of going from a Carmelis to Rishus HaRabim is no consequence whatsoever. The only Isur is Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim. Furthermore, listen to this. Rishonim ask the question. Not Achronim. Rishonim. Why is it that we're Chachamim did not legislate Mila against Mila on Shabbos? Gzeirah Shem Yavirenu Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim. They eliminated lulav, they eliminated shofar, they eliminated Megillah. Why not the mitzvah of Mila?
There's a custom, right?
Two answers. Excellent. One is that there is a drash based on a pasuk that says the mitzvah of Mila applies on Shabbos. Pasuk in Parsha Shmini, Parsha Sazria, Vayikra Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Ubayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Orlato. Says the Medrash Halacha, Afilu B'Shabbos, even on Shabbos. So where there is a special drash that you're supposed to do this mitzvah on Shabbos, Chachamim were reluctant to be gozer and to eliminate it. That's answer number one. Answer number two is, our wives always win out. What does that mean? Let's assume you were a male, and you can fulfill the mitzvah, the primary mitzvah of... you're not really a male, but you learned how to do milah to fulfill the mitzvah with your son. How many wives here would have let... I think you did it? No, didn't you? You did it. Ilana didn't object? You didn't tell her. Right? Tell me the truth.
I don't remember.
You didn't tell her. I guarantee you, you didn't tell her.
I don't recall.
Means you didn't tell her. Because most people, when they do this, the wives say, are you out of your mind? You're trying on some other baby, not on our kid. So some say, since the mitzvah is not misura lakol, not every Tom and Dick and Harry is going to do a meal on Shabbos, even if they know. Certainly most of us who don't know how to do it, it's only given to the expert, to the Moel. The Moel knows not to be Mechal Shabbos. It's only a mitzvah which is given over to each individual. So although Mila is assigned to every parent, nobody actually fulfills this mitzvah, and therefore there was no necessity to be gozer based on the fact that the concern of Chilul Shabbos was not that much of a concern. The Netziv in Hamek She'ela raises the question that in Mitzvah Samach Zayin, how come they were not gozer the mitzvah of prohibiting matzah on the first night of Pesach, if it was on Friday night? Based on the fact that I'm afraid, I don't know how much matzah to eat, I don't know when to eat matzah, so I'm going to bring it to a chacham and say, Mr. Chacham, can you teach me about the mitzvah of matzah? There probably is many halachas that you have to know about eating matzah as there are about taking a lulav. Okay. That's his question. His answer is, since there is a halacha, this is the Netziv, there's a halacha that matzah requires haseba, everybody knows you can't leave your house in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah. So since you're attached to your house because it requires haseba, loy gazru ba rabbanan.
The chacham will tell you that.
What?
The chacham will
tell you that. Okay, good. Lamagain weiter, and then we're going to see a Tosfos and have a very interesting interpretation to address Tosfos's answer, which we'll get to fundamentally our Gemara as well. We are now up to third line of the Gemara. Ihachi. If there is a concern of Chilul Shabbos, and therefore if the second through the seventh day came out on Shabbos, we're going to eliminate the mitzvah midoraisa and the Beis HaMikdash of Lulav because in deference to Chilul Shabbos. Ihachi Yom Rishon Nami. So you should eliminate Lulav the first day of Yontav as well. Why does the Mishnah say that if the first day of Yontav comes out on Shabbos, that you're allowed to take the Lulav on Shabbos, and you bring your Lulav to the Beis HaMikdash on Friday, if you happen to be the Beis HaMikdash on Friday? Or as the Gemaraisa will say, if you don't go to the Beis HaMikdash, you do it in Shul. Why wasn't there a Gzeira Derabba eliminating Lulav on the first day? Ihachi Yom Rishonami. Answers the Gemara, Rishon Nami, Rishon, Hatakinu LaRabbanan BeBeso. The Rabbanan said you should take the lulav in your house. That was after the pandemonium took place. What happened? A lot of people used to come to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gabbai told you to make an announcement. Anybody who picks up my lulav, it's yours. There was a riot that broke out. Because every guy says, I paid $200 for my Esrog, I'm not letting any Tom, Dick, and Harry, and I'm going to wind up with the ugliest looking Esrog on the planet. So therefore the Chachamim said, take it in your house. So once they said, take it in your house, what's the concern about Zerishem Yavirenu Dalaraz Meshusaram? Says the Gemara, Ha Tenach Achar Takana. That's good when they after the takana that you should take it in your house. But the original halacha in the Mikdash was that in the first day of Yom Tov, you're allowed to take the lulav in the Beis HaMikdash. Why didn't Rabba wake up and say we should not allow the mitzvah of lulav the first day of Yom Tov because of the Gzeira de Rabba? Answers the Gemara. Ella. Rishon de isei minatora bigvulin lo gazbar hurabana. First day of Yontav, which has a source in the Torah. I'm translating the words literally. Rishon de isei minatora bigvulin lo gazbar hurabana. Hanach. The less nuhu min haTorah bigvulin, the other days of Yom Tov, which are not found directly in the Torah, that you're obligated to take a lulav in the Beis Hamikdash 7 days, gazru barabanan.
Outside the Beis Hamikdash?
No. This is not talking about outside of the Beis Hamikdash. This is bigvulin. That's right. But the only place where there is a mitzvah in the time of the Beis Hamikdash is in the Beis Hamikdash.
But the first day it's big fool, and the Beis Hamikdash is all 7 days.
Good. So what's the difference?
The first day only had big fool in.
And that's
the Beis Hamikdash.
Correct. And that's why they didn't take the mitzvah of Rabbah.
That's why they didn't make the gzera.
But the second day where there's a mitzvah only in the Beis Hamikdash, they didn't make the gzera. Why not? What's the difference? The Gemara is saying that the first one, Isay Bigvul Min HaTorah. So what? So take a look at Rashi. So Rashi's bothered by the lack of preciseness of the Gemara.
It doesn't say the second pekna, it says
that's not a limited qualified by Lefnei Hashem. The next part of the pasuk, usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem shivas yamim, that's where we learn that you're supposed to take lulav in the Beis Hamikdash. That's only Lefnei Hashem.
The limit where Lefnei Hashem also applied to the first part in the past?
No, never. So Rashi is somewhat concerned about it, and he's going to say something which is almost impossible to define properly. I'm going to try to, but it's very difficult. We're reading the Rashi, Ela Risham, the Chashuva Nitilaso. It's a mitzvah Chashuva, a significant mitzvah. The Afilu Bigvulin Chai, the mitzvah Vulakachtam Lachem, is a significant mitzvah. How do I know it's significant? Because it's applicable not only in the Beis HaMikdash, but even Bigvulin. Lo gazur by Rabbanan. Lo Bigvulin for Lo B'Mikdash. So there the Rabbanan have not eliminated Lulav, not in the Beis HaMikdash, nor in the rest of Eretz Yisrael of the world. Avo shar hayomim she'eno minatora ela b'mikdash. But days through 2 through 7, which are mid'oraisa only in the Mikdash, Lo chashiva netila didhu. Taking the lulav is not that significant. Therefore, the gazru bei rabbanan mishum chumra de Shabbos af b'mikdash. What's Rashi doing here? Rashi's assigning a mitzvah of the Torah is less important than the mikdash because it doesn't apply anyplace else. Would anybody say that the mitzvah of korban, which is limited only to the Beis HaMikdash, is a mitzvah not chashuva because it doesn't apply worldwide? What's Rashi saying here? That this is a mitzvah chashuva and this is not a mitzvah chashuva. Where does Rashi have the right to assign a relative weight to a particular mitzvah? The mitzvah of lulav in the Beis HaMikdash is mid'oraisa, based on the second half of the pasuk. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. What in the world is Rashi saying? What's Rashi saying? Let's just finish the Rashi. Rashi's very difficult. I'm going to try to answer it in a few minutes. V'im toimar, nimtzu bezdin masnin la'akor dove min haTorah. It comes out that Bezdin has the capacity, la'akor, to uproot something of the Torah. Because the Torah says you take the lulav days 2 through 7 in the Beis HaMikdash, and the rabbis say no. Answers the Gemara, answers Rashi, Ha'osvina b'Yavamos, we've learned in Maseches Yavamos, we ask this question Yavamos, v'shanina, and we answer, Shev v'altasa shani. That if the Chachamim tell you not to do something, they're allowed to be oker dava min haTorah. They're allowed to be oker dava min haTorah. So that Gemara is of the opinion that Bezdin never has a right to uproot something, the kumva asay, where it's against where you positively, affirmatively are acting against the Torah. However, what are they allowed to do? Only allowed to tell you, shave, sit, v'al ta'aseh. Don't engage in a mitzvah of the Torah. Just sit and do nothing. That they have the right. Truth be told, there are many other mitzvos or takanot. which are have been. That's that Gemara's opinion. We don't even paskin like that Gemara. We paskin that Bezdin has a right to be oker davar min atayra, even bekum vase. There are what
example of that?
I'll give you several. Number one is the mitzvah of the tatakana of a prusbul. Okay, what happens in a prusbul situation? The Torah tells you, comes the seventh year, I'm not allowed to collect the loan. Not allowed to collect the loan. The loans are canceled. What does the prusbul do? It enables me to violate the Torah, uproot the Torah, and go and collect the loan from you. Take the halacha that you don't need two witnesses to determine the death of a husband to allow the woman to remarry. Mida oraisa al pishnayim edim yakum davar. And no place does it say anywhere in the Torah that there's an exception to the rule that if a husband disappears, we can rely on one witness to allow the woman to remarry in order to make sure she's not an aguna. The Chachamim said, we're going to rely on one witness, not even a kosher witness. It can be a Gentile who is Masiach Lefitum, it can be a woman who generally is not permitted to testify in court. All of a sudden, that's Oker davar min atayra bekum va'aseh. But Rashi is happy with that Gemara because it fits in this particular category. So now let's learn a Tosfos, and once we learn a Tosfos, I'll be able to offer an interpretation to defend what Rashi has in mind. Chashuva, that's mitzvah chashuva versus a mitzvah ena chashuva. Take a look at Tosfos. Just a couple of lines in the Gemara. Hold on a second. Ask the Gemara. Ihachi ho'idno nami. Why is it that today, in today's day and age, nobody takes a lulav even on the first day of Yom Tov? Even on the first day of Yom Tov. Why don't we take a lulav the first day of Yom Tov? First day of Yom Tov, Rashi said, is a mitzvah chashuva. It applies all over the place. Yet, nobody I know takes a lulav on the first day of Yom Tov. Answers the Gemara, Anan lo yad'inan b'kivua diyarcha. We don't know when Sukkos really is. We don't know when Sukkos is. Because who knows when they were Mekadish the Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael. So we in Bavel, when it comes to Sukkos, we're not 100% sure which day of Sukkos it is. Therefore the feeling is, I would be willing to take a lulav on the first day of Yom Tov and run the risk of Chilul Shabbos as long as I knew for a fact I'm being Mekayim the Mitzvah. But if I don't know for a fact I'm being Mekayim the Mitzvah, because tomorrow might be Yom Tov, and then tomorrow, maybe yesterday was Yom Tov, I don't know, under those circumstances, we are not going to allow it.
But in Eretz Yisrael, then you...
So the Gemara asks, right away, Inhu diyadeh b'kviyu diyarcha lidchu. So they, in Eretz Yisrael, who knew exactly when the 15th of the month was, because eventually they found out when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was, so they should be docha. Says the Gemara, Enachanami, you're right. The Tani Chada, because we learned one brisa, B'yom Tov Harishon Shel Chag, Shecholiyos B'Shabbos, Kol Ha'om Molichin Es Luluvein L'Har Abayis. The Tani Idach, and we learned in another brisa, L'Beis HaKnesses, that you were supposed to bring your lulav to shul on Erev Shabbos. Shmamina, Kan Bizman She'Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Kan Bizman She'en Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Shmamina. So therefore, what must be the rule? That in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to take lulav on the first day. Why? Because they knew always when the Yom Tov of Sukkos arrived. And therefore, the Braisa would say that when Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, there is no Beis HaMikdash, so where do you bring your lulav on Friday? To the Beit Knesset. And then you fight in the shul whose lulav you're going to be using. But you see that in Eretz Yisrael you do. And that's the conclusion of this Gemara. A block later, the Gemara is going to say, no, we will not have two sets of halachot, one for Chutz La'aretz and one for Eretz Yisrael, where in Chutz La'aretz you will not take lulav, in Eretz Yisrael you will take lulav, and therefore we are guided, lima'aseh, by the second Gemara, which we'll learn in a couple of weeks, on Daf Mem Dalid, where the Gemara says, you are never going to take lulav, even on the first day of Yom Tov, based on Gzeirah de Rabbah. and we'll talk about why many Rishayim talk about the Isur of Losis Godedu, of having two different practices within the Klal Yisrael. Some taking the lulav, some not taking the lulav. But our Gemara says you do take lulav on the first day in Eretz Yisrael because you know exactly when Yom Tov is, and definitively it is Yom Tov. I want you to take a look at Tosfos. Inhu diyadi bekviya diyarcha enachanami. I want to skip the first half of the Tosfos now. I will get back to it a little later. About six lines into the Tosfos, v'im toimar. Chel defreg in akash, v'im toimar. Tosfos bedimar amaskel, inhu diyadi bekviya diyarcha. Six lines into the Tosfos. Everybody have the place? V'im toimar, chel defreg in akash. Maishno mishoifar. Why is the mitzvah of lulav different than shofar? Disnan perikdal de Rosh Hashanah, Yom Tov she Rosh Hashanah shecholias b'Shabbos b'mikdash sheyutokin avolo b'mdina. Where did they blow the shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah when it came out on Shabbos? Only in mikdash, but not any place else. And yet here we allow lulav where
all of Eretz Yisrael.
Why? V'yesh loimar, d'shani lulav she'enu elatiltul ba'alma. What's the big deal if you hold a lulav on Shabbos? What's the big deal? It's only tiltul of muktzah. V'kevon de'ishtari b'mikdash, l'machmir b'medina. Once they allowed it in the mikdash, then they're not going to be machmir throughout Eretz Yisrael either. Avo b'tki yishayfar, Ika ma'ase chachma va'achmer ba'tfei. And the, by shofar, that's a little different. There's a chachma to shofar. And therefore we're going to be machmer. So it's a chachma. So what? That's why we're going to be, that's why, you know. So what's he saying? So he's saying,
well, I could have carried it.
Lulav, it's just picking it up. Bottom line, I'm not really worried about people asking too many kashas. So when
or is it like a malacha gerua?
What? Okay, so then, what? But lulav? What about shofar? It's not a malacha at all. It's only, the Gemara says chachma ve'ena malacha. So that should have been less of a reason that what? We should prohibit it. So here he's saying there is a reason to prohibit it. Perhaps what he means is lulav is only tiltul. How dumb can you be and not be able to pick up the lulav properly? What do you mean, gzeira yeshema yavirenu eitzel baki? What do you have to learn from a just pick it up and that's it. Shofar, you have to learn how to blow it. Most people don't know how to blow shofar. So when it says you're going to go to a chacham, it's not for the chacham to teach you halachas of hilchos shofar. What's the chacham going to do? Teach you how to blow the shofar. That I'm afraid, and I don't want to have masses being obligated for the mitzvah of shofar on account of the fact that too many people don't know how to blow, and therefore they're going to have to go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos. Therefore, for shofar, they eliminated shofar, except in the Beis HaMikdash. And lulav, they're willing to tolerate lulav, just bring your lulav to shul on Friday, or to the Beis HaMikdash, or to shul, and we won't have anything to worry about, because there's probably not so many questions you got to ask about lulav. It's tiltul baba, just picking it up.
What was the Rabba?
Well, also,
what was the name of Rabba in that case?
That's a good question. Well, according to this, there is no Gzeira the Rabba, except on days 2 through 7.
Why? It's only till the Baal.
That's the difficulty with Tosfos' answer. So then, if it's only till Baalma, why when Shabbos Cholamai did they say you can't take it? What different? How does Tosfos' answer, once he comes up with the distinction between Shofar and Lulav, the question emerges, so then why bother on the day number 2 in the Beis HaMikdash? Why can't you take lulav day number 2? What is accomplished?
The phrase Elin L'Tiltul Ba'alma relating the tiltul to the mitzvah is a little difficult because usually it's Agbane.
Correct.
Referring to the
Malacha part. So now what's he saying? So it's less of a malacha than shofar, which is a chachma.
Is it a kli or it's not a kli? According, it's not a kli according to Tosfos. Right?
That is correct.
The shofar is a kli.
It might be. No, it will not be.
Why not?
Same thing.
What? But it's for the tzorech mitzvah.
But during a regular week, there's still a tzorech for man.
Okay, but so does the lulav. A lulav has the you can use it a broom. That's why I quoted to you that Rambam. So it's a little it's difficult either way. If the tiltul here is to suggest that it's not much of a do'at in the kiyum mitzvah, then there's no reason to eliminate it days 2 through 7. If the tiltul is a reference that it's only tiltul mukza and not really a malacha, well, blowing shofar is not a malacha either. In fact, the Gemara identifies as chachma ve'eno malacha.
The point is that the shofar is much more likely to be carried not for purpose of the mitzvah. He must be referring to...
Correct.
So he must be referring tiltul...
The difficulty of observing the mitzvah. Correct. That's why I agree with you. That's why I said that tiltul is not in the malacha aspect, but it's in the mitzvah aspect. It's just picking it up, so nobody's going to run and carry it on Shabbos. But shofar, it's a skill. You know, we're afraid that people are going to learn that skill or not know how to do it. Then they'll carry it b'Shas HaRam. So we had to legislate shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Then Tosis goes ahead and asks the next question. Umiyu kasha dila'achar churban heikilu b'shofar tfei mebelulav. Tosis already knows, I skipped that first step, but I already told it to you, that lema'aseh, we don't follow our Gemara. Lema'aseh, after the churban ha-mikdash, what happened to the mitzvah lulav even on the first day? There is no lulav on the first day. None. No place. Yet shofar, after the Churban HaMikdash, what did the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tell us? Kol makom sheyesh by Bezdin. You were allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. And according to many Rishonim, it doesn't have to be a Bezdin of Smuchen. It has been reported that in the Rif's Bezdin, they blew Rosh Hashanah shofar on Shabbos. Many, many years. It's quoted by the Rif. That he and his Bezdin, they blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos. Because it says, Kol Makom Sheyesh by Bezdin. So Tosfos asks, why during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we were more machmir with shofar than lulav? Suddenly after the Beis HaMikdash, we were makil with shofar and machmir and lulav. Nobody takes lulav, but shofar does exist on Rosh Hashanah, at least in Bezdin. That's his question. Umiyu kasha. Lulav has not been permitted at all, as the Gemara comes to the conclusion, and Daf Mem Dalad. So Tosfos says, Chassidish answer. How can a Jew have a Rosh Hashanah without the Kiyush Shofar? As it possible. V'yesh loymar, the shofar shehu la'alos zichronom sheYisrael la'avim shebashamayim lo ratzu levatel lagamre. That shofar, which has the idea of to bring our remembrances unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they didn't want to eliminate that entirely, and therefore they said that you can do it in a bezdin. The kevan de bechad bezdin tiknu bechol makom sheyesh bo bezdin afal pishe bezman abayis lo haya ela b'mikdash davka. Fine. Yeah.
Why is that true, by the way?
What?
Why is that true? Then the Mikdash only did it. There was no Gzeir Rabbah that time.
That's the Gemara's answer. That is Gzeir the Rabbah.
No, I'm saying, but in time, not time of the Mikdash.
Yes. But Mikdash, are you talking of a lo bimdina?
Why wasn't Gzeir Rabbah after the Mikdash?
Okay, so it must be that Rabbah is the one who popularized the Gzeirah, but its idea was applied even before. Because the Mishnah says, on Rosh Hashanah, Shecholias, B'Shabbos, but Mikdash, you talk of a lo bimdina. B'mikdash. So you're talking about B'zman HaMikdash. So I'd like to present another way how to handle this whole thing. To see the difference between Lulav and Shofar. And the Lulav the second day and onward. There is a fundamental machloikis, if you remember this from the early Shirum of Lulav HaGazel, as to what is the type of mitzvah that we fulfill on days number 2 through 7 in the Beis HaMikdash. Is it a? And here will be the test case. Are all of the psulei hadar, all of the psulim that we demand of a kashrut, of a lulav and an esrog, day number one, do they apply day number two or not?
No.
Do they apply?
No.
No. They don't. It's a I shouldn't say no. It's a machloikis chachmei Ashkenaz chachmei Svarad. The Rambam and all chachmei Svarad say that the mitzvah of lulav, days 2 through 7, there are no psulim whatsoever. As long as it's a lulav and an esrog, I don't care if the pitum's off, it's got brown dots, it's okay, slits, who cares, katum, makes no difference, not hadasa mishulashim, everything is fine. Everything is fine. And Chachmei Ashkenaz say no, they're all pasul. Whatever applies day number one, applies day through seven. What's the ikar, what's the fundamental machlokes? The machlokes is how to understand the mitzvah of lulav days 2 through 7 on a d'oraisa level in the Beis HaMikdash and on a d'rabbanan level for us post Churban when we take lulav days 2 through 7. The Rambam believes that the mitzvah of the kachdam lachem b'yom rishon came to a grinding halt on day number one.
Separate.
Day number two is a different mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim b'simchas halulav hakasam medabim. The Balei HaTosfos believe no, that that pasuk is just telling us that the mitzvah of ulekachdem should extend for 7 days. The mitzvah of ulekachdem is bayom rishon bigvulin, and the mitzvah of ulekachdem lachem bayom rishon priyetz adar extends for 7 days in the Beis Hamikdash. So if you believe that it's a separate mitzvah, so then as long as it's a lulav and an esrog, I don't care what it looks like. And that's the Rambam's Shita. That there is a mitzvah midoraisa, and begvulin today, it's only midorabbanan. But the mitzvah is a new mitzvah of usmachta. That mitzvah doesn't have to be guided by the strict criteria which we apply to Yom Rishon, to the mitzvah of lekachta. The Balei HaTosfos say no. It's an extension of that mitzvah. So if it's an extension of the mitzvah for 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, whatever is applicable day number one applies day number seven in the Beis HaMikdash. So let's operate for now like the Rambam Shita. So operate the Rambam Shita. So now we can explain what Rashi had in mind for as well. Even though Rashi is an Ashkenazi, I'm using, and Rashi doesn't agree with the Rambam, but I'm going to use the Rambam's Yesod to explain the verbiage of Rashi. What does that mean? The reason why on the first day they did not want to eliminate the mitzvah of lulav, because the pasuk explicitly states the definition of the mitzvah. What do you do on the first day? Ulekachtam lachem bayom harishon pri eitz hadar kapot marin. Days 2 through 7, the Torah doesn't tell us that you're supposed to take a lulav. What does the Torah tell you? To rejoice in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu 7 days. There are many ways to rejoice. You have Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that's also 7 days. One of the ways to rejoice is what? Lulav. But it's not mifurash in the pasuk that usmachtem lefnei Hashem alakecha means taking a lulav for 7 days. Therefore, since there are other ways in which the mitzvah of lulav can be manifest, the way the mitzvah of simcha can be expressed days 2 through 7, namely that there's a mitzvah to eat kachim. Rabbi Shechter said yesterday, the mitzvah of halel, according to the Ramban, is an expression of simcha. So that's why we say halel all 7 days of Sukkot. Because it's part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. So the mitzvah of Usmachtem has a way to express itself, even if you will somehow disguise and hide the mitzvah of taking lula for 7 days. So in that respect, it's lo chashuva kol kach. It's not like the first day of Yom Tov, where the mitzvah is defined exclusively as taking arba minim. No other way to take it. And that's why there can be, conceptually, there can be a difference between day number one and days two through seven. Days two through seven, it's not really a mitzvah of lulav. It's a mitzvah of simcha, more nebulous, not as framed, not as well structured. So therefore, because of the potential of Chilul Shabbos, they eliminated that aspect of the manifestation of the mitzvah of simcha, because you're not eradicating the mitzvah completely. The mitzvah of simcha can still be applied through Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Achilas Kachim, through recital of Halil, according to the Ramban.
Sitting
in a sukkah. But the first day, if you were to abandon that mitzvah because of the Gzeira of Rabbah, because of Chil Shav, you're eliminating the mitzvah entirely. That they didn't want to do. That's one way to explain that Rashi. Then in terms of, I'm going to stop here because I know people have to go to Davin and other things, but I want to continue with just a line of this Tosis and then take the next Gemara. Why is it that in the Beis HaMikdash, the shofar, there was reverse? In the Mikdash, yes, and in Gvulin, no, and the opposite of Lulav, I'm going to answer that next week as well. But again, Rabotai, next, I have another thing Monday night. Can we have? I don't have to have it next week, 8 o'clock. Is it better a little later, 9 o'clock?
No.
Next Sunday?
No.
8 o'clock is good? How many people want 8 o'clock next Sunday morning?
We got a quorum.
Going to be prefer Sunday evening, or everyone likes it now?
No.
Sunday evening, I have a I have a share Sunday night in somebody's house.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sunday morning, 8?
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for coming.